Rising Statistics' Five Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great will help you bring happiness, joy, and fulfillment to the most important relationship of your life. In addition to being project director of the Early Years of Marriage Project, funded by the National Institutes of Health, Terry Orbach, Ph.D., is a research professor at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan and a professor at Oakland University. Known nationally for her frequent Love Doctor radio and television appearances, she's been a marriage therapist for more than 20 years. Dr. Orbach, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM, or should I say Dr. Love?
Love Good doctor. Morning, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yeah, Terry, it's great to have you. You know, my parents actually met at the University of Michigan.
Oh, how nice.
And it seems like a wonderful place. Now, in the introduction, I mentioned that you're the project director of Early Years of Marriage Project. And in your introduction to your fantastic book, Five Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great, you write, quote, I had an epiphany a few years ago while poring over fascinating data on marriage and reading the latest findings in relationship research. What was your epiphany?
My epiphany was that there's so much really good relationship research out there, Lisa, but nobody knows about it. So what I really wanted to do as the Love Doctor is take that research, including my own, and translate it into a format, into a book that real people can use in their real lives.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, because there's such great information. And by the way, my husband loves your book.
Oh, thank you.
And he especially loved the part about men being more romantic than women. He said, see? Yeah, if you could tell us a little bit about that, because I was kind of surprised.
Yes, well, you know, men are more romantic in their beliefs, Lisa. They are more likely to believe in love at first sight, that love conquers all, and that you need love in order to have a commitment or make a commitment. And I think the media perpetuates the opposite, that women are more romantic. But in reality, when we look at research, it's the men who are more romantic.
That's really interesting. And speaking of research, if you can tell us a little bit about the Early Years of Marriage Project.
Yes, it's a wonderful study. I've been following 373 couples for over 22 years.
Wow.
As part of a marriage study that's funded by the National Institutes of Health. We've been following the couples over time. I hope to continue 25 plus years in the future as well. 46% of the couples have divorced over time. It turns out that that's exactly the national average, which is 45%. And the nice thing is that we continue to follow those people who are now divorced. So now what I like to say is that I've been following 746 individuals, some of whom are married to each other and some of whom are not still married to each other.
Oh, okay. And from doing that, you learned so many interesting things. And one of the things you write, quote, I soon recognize that it's not the big events that make couples unhappy, but instead the seemingly minor everyday challenges.
Yes, and that's really surprising.
Yes,
when you think
it is.
About it, because we think financial difficulties, job loss, even the health of a parent is really what affects couples and their happiness. But what I found is that when couples experience those big challenges outside of the marriage, they come together, they lean on one another, they support each other, and actually they grow closer. So I like to encourage couples to sweat the small stuff instead. And that's opposite to what we've been hearing in the media again. So it's the small, seemingly, and I underline that several times, seemingly small things in relationships that tear couples apart and that erode the happiness. So he doesn't listen to me, she's not paying attention to me, I'm bored or she's nagging me. Those little things, if they accumulate over time, they start out small, but if they accumulate over time, that's what becomes the big issues. That's what tears couples apart. So sweat the small stuff in your relationship and then address those small things. Make small changes in behavior and your attitudes, because that's what creates happiness and can transform your relationship almost instantly.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that is such wonderful advice. And, you know, I'd love to talk about the steps. You know, the first step is expect more, get less. And you write, quote, to take your marriage from good to great, it's essential to transform unrealistic expectations. And, Dr. Terry, what are some of the unrealistic expectations you've seen in your research? And what can be done to move towards more realistic ones?
Well, I think unrealistic expectations means that you don't expect what really is going to happen in a relationship or how your partner should treat you. So, for example, one of the unrealistic expectations that many of the spouses had in my study is that if you're truly in love with your partner, passion will never fade. Then when it happens, you think something's wrong with your relationship, something's wrong with your partner, and that's not the case. It's very common. Another unrealistic expectation that many of the spouses had in my study is that a perfect relationship is one with no conflict. Mm-hmm. And again, not realistic. All healthy, good, happy relationships have conflict. It's how you deal with the conflict that turns out to be important in the long haul. In fact, in my study, those spouses who reported no conflict with their spouse were the relationships that actually didn't end up staying together over time. So relationship conflict is healthy, it's common, it's how you deal with it that's important.
I see. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And if we go on to step two, you talk about incentives and rewards, and you write, quote, "Research shows that there are three basic needs all people have in a relationship. One, the need for reassurance and self-worth. Two, the need for intimacy and closeness. And three, the need for assistance." And could you have some tips to help those three things happen?
I think the biggest and most important tip for all three of those needs is that you need to say and do simple, small things to make your partner feel special and valued. I call this, Lisa, affective affirmation.
Yes.
It's the degree to which you make your partner feel special, valued, and cared for, and is so very important to the happiness in your relationship. And you can do affective affirmation through behaviors, or you can say affective affirmation through words. So, for example, when we're talking about words, Lisa, we're talking about very simple things like telling your partner, "I love you, you're great, you're special," or my favorite, "I would still choose you if I had to do it all over again." In fact, that sends shivers up my spine every time I say it.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
And it says we always have an option to be with our partner, and we still choose our partner. And so all of those simple phrases are affective affirmation. You can also do it through behaviors, like you can turn believe that passion will never. You know your partner needs caffeine to wake up. You can bring in the paper. You can fill their gas tank.
Yeah, I love that in the book. You talk about the husband who always made sure his wife, the tank was full in the winter so she wouldn't have to stand out in the cold.
Which is so special and wonderful. And it said to her, "I value you, I love you, and I care about you." And she really saw that as so special. So it's so very important to give your partner affective affirmation regularly. And most surprising, Lisa, to me, was that men, the husbands in my study, craved affective affirmation more than women. Now, it's not that women don't need it, but it's that men need it more than women.
Well, what surprised me is, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt, you had tips throughout the book, and one that I found really surprising was that men like to be told they're sexy. I thought that was just women.
No, men actually like it too. You know, it's interesting. Women, we get affective affirmation from many people in our lives. We get it from our best friends, our sisters, our kids, even the stranger when we go into a coffee shop and we're waiting for our coffee, who says to us, "Oh, I love your hair. I love your clothes. Where did you get your clothes?"
Oh, my gosh, that's me. I'm always saying that to people.
Exactly, me too.
Constantly. My husband's like, "How many people did you tell they had pretty eyes today?" I said, "Well, all their eyes were pretty."
Exactly. But, you know, unfortunately, men don't give it, and they don't get it from other people in their lives. We rarely hear that men hang out with one another and say to each other, "Oh, wow, you are fantastic," or "I love your outfit. Where'd you get your sweater?"
Yeah.
So, and they don't get it. So it's so very important then that wives give it to their husbands because they don't get it from other people in their lives.
Yeah, that's true.
So if they don't get it from their wives or their partners, they feel distress and then they're less happy in their relationship. So for wives, it just takes every single day really thinking about giving it once to your husband. Very simple. I love you. Give him a kiss when he comes home. Give him a hug, or even send him a card in the mail.
Oh, that's sweet.
Those are all sweet gestures. Absolutely. So that's do small things often to make your partner happy.
Oh, that's nice. And tip number three is have daily briefings where you write, quote, one trait shared by happy couples in my marriage study is that they are intimately familiar with each other's inner lives and social worlds.
1 minute rule is talk to your partner every single day for at least 10 minutes about something other than work, family, who's going to do what around the house, or your relationship. And lots of people say, oh my, what else can I talk about? There are so many other topics, and my book gives lists of questions that you can ask your partner to intimately know them and understand their world. For example, what are you most proud of doing in the last year? Or if you had all the money in the world, where would you travel to and why? Or my favorite, what do you want to be doing in 5 years from now? If you could do anything, money was no object, your work was no object, what would you do in the next 5 years? Those are questions that you can ask your partner as you practice the 10-minute rule.
Yeah, and I love, too, how you have those under the welcome to your dinner topics, because there are times when my husband and I will go out to dinner, and we're just quiet, and we're eating. I know that, you know, there must be something, then we'll end up talking about our daughter, or, you know, for a while now, you got to find the number of the guy that painted, you know, whatever
exactly.
It is. You know?
And that's very common, Lisa. Very typical of many couples. And I think some silence is okay.
Yeah.
But then a list of some of these questions to ask your partner when you're out really helps. And I give many lists.
Yeah, it's so helpful.
There's so many questions that you can ask your partner to get at their intimate worlds, to understand. And we can't assume ever that just because we've been with our partner for 2, 5, 10, or 50 years that we know what they think or know what they would do. People change. There are lots of different situations. So always ask your partner these questions. We ask them at the beginning of a relationship, and it's exciting and new, and these questions actually can ignite some passion and romance and excitement in your relationship.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. You also, I think, in the beginning, you know, I used to send my husband cards and leave little notes and, you know, do all those cutesy kind of things, and I haven't done that in ages.
Well, you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not alone. We're all very busy.
Yes.
And what we tend to do is we put our relationship on the back burner and we say, it'll be okay. It'll be there when I'm more settled, less stressed. I encourage people to take that relationship off the back burner and do what you did at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah, that is great advice. Now, tip number four is implement change. A quote, implement change in order to reduce marital boredom and keep your relationship fresh and exciting. And tell us about the happiness plateau that you write about.
Yes, well, I think what happens is that we all get in what I call a relationship rut.
Yes.
When it's the same old, sort of boring, we're not doing anything exciting. And that's very common again, Lisa. But what you don't want to happen is to stay in that rut for very long. So I encourage people to knock each other off balance, do something that's different, exciting, new, implement change. And the change doesn't have to be big. It just has to be simple and small. So you don't have to go parachuting through, you know, you don't have to go on a cruise for a week. I'm talking about small, simple changes to knock your partner off balance, make them sit up and notice, wow, I can't believe we're doing this. So for example, maybe you might want to play hooky from work for 2 hours in the middle of the afternoon one day and go to a movie. That's doing something fun, different, and exciting with one another.
That would be fun. I haven't been to movies in years. I mean, years.
I know. I don't know if I've ever done it, actually. Or you want to, you know, join a new class or go to a new lecture. Take a salsa dance class with one another, a wine appreciation course, or even a cooking class once a month. Doing something new and different, like you did at the beginning of your relationship, will add excitement and will knock each other off balance. And the third tip is my favorite, and that is do an arousal-producing activity with your partner.
Mm.
And it's not what you think.
Oh.
I know everybody goes to somewhere different when I say that tip. But what I'm talking about is doing an activity with your partner that increases your adrenaline or arousal, like exercising together, go to a gym, buy two pieces of exercise equipment, put it in your basement, or go to a scary movie, or when the weather is nice, go to an amusement park and ride a roller coaster ride with each other.
And I highly recommend people get the book. It's just so full of wonderful tips and things that are really going to change your relationship for the better. Now, tip five is really important. Keep costs low and benefits high. Quote, in step five, you learn effective strategies to defray problematic behaviors in your relationship. And from there, you write that it's essential to weed out the problematic behaviors if you want the positive and rewarding behaviors of steps 1 through 4.
Yes.
I thought that was very interesting.
And steps 1 through 4, Lisa, really are about adding positive elements to your relationship.
Yeah, that's...
And that's so very important. You want to strengthen what's already working well in your relationship. Now, once you've added those positive elements, the positive energy makes you feel good and motivates you to keep going in the same direction. So that when you get to step five, when you begin to look at the positives and the negatives really don't seem that bad. And you're able to work at the negatives and eliminate these costs in your relationship. So what I do is I have couples or spouses do what I call audit their relationship. So it's really looking at the positives and negatives. You realize that the negatives aren't so bad, and you want to make sure that you have 5 positives for every 1 negative. If not, you want to work on those negatives. But once you've strengthen the relationship, once you've really added the positive elements, those negatives and working out those negatives or costs don't seem so bad, and it's much easier to work on what's not going so well.
I see. In touch with you.
If you want to get in touch with me, Lisa, my website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, D-R-T-E-R-R-I, thelovedoctor.com.
Oh, well, I want to thank you so much, and I will be in touch to let you know when this airs, and this has been absolutely wonderful. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I would love to have you back sometime.
That would be great. Please think of me in the future.
Oh, I will. You were fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thanks.